Church, and welcome. Well, today, much of the world in which we live in is celebrating Thanksgiving. I know that not all over the world do they celebrate, people have different dates, but here in Canada, we are celebrating the weekend of Thanksgiving. And I emphasize the word world. In the world, they are celebrating Thanksgiving this weekend. Because, you know, I was thinking about it really would be a sad thing if God's children, God's people, only took one day out of the year or 2 days or maybe even a whole weekend and at this time of the year to be thankful. That would be pretty sad. In fact, as the children of God, We are, as we know, called to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And did you know that thankfulness, you cannot live by faith without being thankful. Thankfulness is a big part. In fact, it is a major part of our living by faith. And like all of the virtues that we talk about, all of the wonderful virtues, like being thankful, how many of us have ever come across someone who is always negative, who is always complaining, never has a good thing to say, never thankful for anything, will always find something to complain about? How many of you like to spend time with those kind of people? I know I don't. So this thankfulness that we're talking about here is really a heart attitude. It's not a work of the flesh. It's a virtue of the heart. Someone who's thankful. I've known people who have nothing really in the natural, and yet they are the most grateful, gracious, thankful people. They're lovely to be around. How many of us here today want to be that kind of a person? You know, someone that people love to be around. Someone that is always grateful no matter what. Those are the kind of spirits that are beautiful. And they're refreshing to be around those type of people. So thankfulness is a virtue. It is not a work of your flesh. And real thankfulness is not in just lip service. It comes from the heart. Many of us have been thanked by people who you know it wasn't from the heart. It's the heart that shows the true nature of gratefulness. And just like real heart worship, that we saw from last week, we talked about a real worship that comes from the heart. Thankfulness, too, comes from only one place. It comes from Jesus. It comes from a revelation of who he is and all that he has freely given us. That's where thankfulness comes from. And if all of God's blessings are free, or the Bible says all of them are yes and amen through Jesus, then you know what? If they're all free, if every blessing that you could imagine in your life that you would love or desire to have is free, then there's nothing left for you or me to do except what? Thank you. When somebody gives you a gift, what do you say? Most of the times we say, oh, you shouldn't have. Don't say that to God. Oh, you shouldn't have. Thank God he did. And so when someone gives you a gift, you don't pull out your wallet and try to pay for it, because then it's no longer a gift. But no, you say, thank you. So there's nothing left for us as God's children except thank you. Thank you. So really, the level or the measure of the thankfulness that you have in your heart and the spirit the spirit of thankfulness, the beauty of that is really directly linked to the revelation you have of Jesus. It all comes from Jesus. Worship comes from Jesus. We talked about that last week. When you see, when you finally have a revelation of who Jesus really is, we can do nothing but worship. In fact, everything, all things, whether it's a heart virtue that we possess, like being thankful, or maybe you are kind, Maybe you are a gentle spirit. Whether it is a physical thing like health, or whether it is prosperity or finances, whatever it is, we know that it is all a revelation of Jesus. All of it. Nothing. We have nothing. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. All things. Think about that. Whether it's physical things, spiritual things, or mental things, they're all given to us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. A lot of people think that God only gives us things that pertain unto our spirits. Life. They're talking about things that have to do with your life, okay? It says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What is godliness? All things that pertain unto godliness is the virtues. That's the thankful heart. That's the kind heart. That's the love. Those are the virtues. That's the godliness. And it says the things that are pertain to your life are your health, your healing, your prosperity, all of the things in this natural world. What does it say there? All of these things that pertain unto life and godliness, that's everything. Comes how? Through the avenue, one avenue, through the knowledge of Christ that has called us to glory and virtue. All of it comes to you through one avenue. You can't have these things except through Christ. And this week, the Lord really made an impression on my heart. And that's where I want to go here today, as to how very, very blessed you and I are, and in this church, because we are privy to an amazing revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not speaking this morning in pride. I am not. I am only going to share with you the manner in which God impressed my heart. That you and I may grow more and more in our appreciation of what we do have in the revelation of Jesus that we all share here today in Christ. And I want the revelation that you possess to become more and more and more precious to you as the days and the years go by. So this morning I'm not referring to mere knowledge about Jesus. Many people have mere knowledge about Jesus. We can know all about someone, even by reading a book, hearing about them. But what I'm talking about is knowing someone. It's a lot different to hear about someone as it is to meet someone, to have an experience with someone, exchanging life with one another. There's a big difference, isn't there? And this morning I'm referring not to just mere knowledge about Jesus, because you can know a lot about Jesus. Many people do. They know a lot about Jesus from Scripture. But the Bible tells us that mere knowledge puffs up, makes us proud. Oh, look how much I know. I can quote the book. I can quote the first five books of the Bible, or the last five books of the Bible. That is not what I'm talking about. That makes us puffed up with pride. I'm talking about a true revelation of Jesus that does not make us proud, but actually it has the opposite effect. It brings us to our knees. Nothing will bring you to your knees like the revelation of Jesus. Nothing will humble your heart more than the revelation of Jesus, who he really is. So what is this true revelation of Jesus? It is this. It is the unconditional, unmerited, or undeserved favor of God for you specifically, revealed in Jesus and the cross. That is the true revelation of Jesus. You cannot even know the love of God or the love that God has for you. The length of it, the Bible calls, the breadth, the depth, the height of this love, except through Christ. It's impossible. God so loved the world, he sent his only son. Now, I know that God loves you has become a very, that's something we toss around. Oh, you know, God loves you. And to most people, those words mean nothing. They know in their heads, yeah, I guess God loves everybody. But they don't know it here. They have never experienced in truth or reality this love. And I guarantee you, through the revelation of Jesus, you will begin to experience it. It'll become more real to you than the love you have and the love you experience with your spouse, the love that you experience from your children. Because it's so intimate. Because you know what? The difference is you can never know even between Megan and her dad. I don't doubt that they love, there's, you know, Dave loves Megan and Megan loves Dave, but the closeness that you share is amazing and wonderful. But when you have closeness with God, it is that much closer because God lives in you. He knows your spirit. You can never really know the spirit of another person. Only God knows your spirit. Only God. And he can love you like no one else loves you. And when you have a revelation of Christ, all of a sudden, that love becomes extremely real to the point where you can actually feel it on the inside. And it brings you to your knees, like we said last week, in worship. Because he loves you with a love that is just so beyond anything that anybody in this world shows you. God's love is amazing. So God so loved the world, he sent his only son. And this love that God has for you is really a mystery to the world. Did you know that? When the Bible talks about the mystery of Christ, what is the mystery of Christ? It's the mystery of God's love demonstrated through Christ. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 says this, "Now unto him, unto God, who is able to establish you according to my gospel," this is the Apostle Paul who writes this, "and the preaching of Christ according to the revealing of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So how is this mystery revealed to you and I? Through the scriptures. Through the scriptures, the gospel message. And then again in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, it says this, "whom having not seen with our physical eyes, we love. Even though now we see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." When Jesus Christ is revealed in your heart and you see God's love, witnessed in what he's done for you, your heart will rejoice with unspeakable joy. Verse 10. "Yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come unto you." Verse 11, "searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the joy that would follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported to you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the very angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus." What is the revelation of Jesus that we are privy to, that I'm talking about here this morning, that we ought to be, this is the reason of our gratefulness, our thankfulness. This is the treasure I want you to treasure. What is the revelation of Jesus? It is the revealing of God's undeserved favor and undeserved love, unconditional love. That's what the revelation of Jesus is. Now, let's go back and let's reiterate what I've just read. The prophets of old. Who are the prophets of old? They are the men that were moved by God in the Old Testament. that prophesied of a coming of the new covenant that was to come. They made many prophecies concerning you and I, concerning this covenant that God was going to change. The covenant now is grace. And it says they diligently searched and looked into this because it was so amazing. They couldn't even comprehend what you and I are enjoying today. And yet you and I don't know what we have. We are taking it for granted. We have no idea. But they were diligently looking into this to see in what time, what manner, who are the people that God was going to, that this new covenant was, which people, which time is this going to happen? Is the revelation of Jesus and what they saw going to come to pass? It's you and me. It's you and me. And it says, and then it goes on to say, even the very angels desire to look into what you and I have. This mystery, I'm telling you, it is a mystery to the world. What you and I have, the world doesn't know. They have no clue. They don't understand why we jump up and down and dance on Sunday morning and sing songs and worship God. They don't understand why we have to be in church on Sunday. But because it is so amazing, we can never hear enough of it. The revelation of Christ. It fills our hearts with joy unspeakable. Is there a place in your life in the natural that you love to go that makes you just so happy and fills you with joy unspeakable? I guarantee you're going to go back and grace that place again. You are going to go back there because all of us want to enjoy life. We want to have a sense of enjoyment. We don't do things we don't enjoy. And if we do, we certainly don't rush back there. We just wish we never have to go there again, like going to the doctor for, you know, a number of tests. That's not a thing we enjoy. But the revelation of Jesus is so amazing. And you don't know the treasure that you hold. And the Lord impressed that in my heart this week, that you don't know what you've got on the inside. The things you know and understand, it is a mystery to the rest of the world. So this revelation is the revealing of God's undeserved and unconditional love to you. Yes, to the world. But when he reveals it to you, it becomes personal. Now, it's not that Jesus just died on that cross for the world. He died on that cross for me. And you see that. You reach out and you touch it. It's like, wow, God loves me. Out of all of these people, God has selected me and revealed it to me. It makes you feel so loved and so special, and yet at the same time, so humble. Because you know you didn't do anything to deserve this. Why me? Why us? Why did you reveal your son in me? Why not him or her? So the prophets of old, and even the angels don't know, they have never seen this grace either. They would love to look into it. So they want to know, to whom is this grace going to be given? To whom is this grace going to be revealed to? A mystery that was so amazing. And we need to realize what's been given to us. The revelation you and I possess of God's grace in Christ is by far the most valuable, the most precious thing this side of heaven. All the money, all the treasure in this world cannot even come close to what you and I have on the inside of us. And it's time, as God's children, we realized it. Everything pales in comparison. Would you or me or any of us in this room sell what you've got in your heart for anything, or trade it for anything? No. No, we wouldn't. It's our life. The Lord has impressed this truth in my heart that if the world knew what you and I had, they would be chasing us down like dogs. This church couldn't contain the people that would want to come in. That's how good it is. That's how good it is. They would be sending spies out. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, we send spies into different countries, okay? And if you watch any kind of TV, you know, the CIA. But But really, when you really think about all of that and you just give it some thought, what are these spies, these specially trained people sent in to do? What are they after? Information. Information. And I saw that in a flash that, you know what? If the world knew what we had, they'd be sending spies in. They would be drilling us. They would want to know what we know. It's true. Because we have been given the revelation of Jesus, and Jesus is the secret to life. Not just life in the next world, life here in general, our whole life. The people of old longed to look into this revelation of grace that we enjoy and could not because they realized it wasn't for them, it was for us. And those prophets were under the old covenant. They could not grasp this new covenant that they already were prophesying about. And you know, today, even in churches across the world, people still struggle to grasp the new covenant. They're still living in the old. They're still living in the old. Under the old covenant, God, who did God covenant with under the old? Who was the covenant between in the old? It was between God and man. That was the covenant in the old covenant. Now we know what a covenant is. A covenant is when two people come into an agreement. You keep your end, I keep my end. You don't keep your end, I don't keep my end. That's what a covenant is. You come together in an agreement. Now, the covenant in the Old Testament, God said, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God and obey and do all of the things that I command you, then I will bless you. I will bless you going in. I will bless you coming out. I'll bless you in the country. I'll bless you in the city. Then the blessings would come upon you if you hearken and do all of the Lord's commandments. So that was the covenant God made through Moses with the people. And what was the people's end? They did it. If they did good, they followed the commands, God blessed them. If they broke the commands, God could not bless them. Very simple. But in the new covenant, and you see, this is the prophets were under this the system. I mean, it only made sense. You know, do good, get good. So they were looking ahead to a time and a period where the covenant was not going to be the same anymore. And they could not grasp the way this was going to work because it was just opposite of what they were living in at the time. So in the new covenant now, so under the old covenant, I'm just going to recap it, man had to do his part. Then God would do his part. He would bless. But the revelation of Jesus is the revelation of the new covenant. And the first thing you got to know is God did not make the new covenant with you. Praise God. He did not make it with you. Because if he did, it would have failed again. Why? Because man is going to fail. Who did he make the covenant with? Jesus. So if God and Jesus covenanted and made a promise to each other, do you think that it's going to be ever, ever, ever violated or broken? No. Jesus is God. That's why the Bible says that by two immutable things, God made an oath. Who are the two immutable? It's impossible that Jesus or God would ever lie or be false to their promise. Impossible. So this covenant is not with you and me. It's with Jesus and God. We, on the other hand, are just the beneficiaries. We receive all the blessings of this covenant. And so every time you are believing God and trusting God for something that the Bible says is yours, don't look to yourself. Look to the fact that this covenant, this promise, the moment God doesn't do what he said he's going to do in his word, he's broken his covenant with Jesus. And when you see that, your faith will just go through the roof. He has to. So under the old covenant, it was dependent on man's part. Under the new covenant, it's dependent on Jesus. That's why he is the Savior. We are only the beneficiaries of the new covenant. So what is the covenant between God and his son Jesus? God sent his son to the earth to become flesh. Jesus willingly came, and by the grace of God, the undeserved grace and unconditional love of God, he died our death. He died for us. The Bible says he tasted death for every human being or every man and woman. He became the sin that every one of us deserved to be punished for. And he took all the pain and the punishment for our sin. The Bible says he became sick. The Bible says he became stricken with grief. He was filled with sorrow. He became poor. He lost everything. Jesus, the Bible says, became sin. He who knew no sin became sin. He suffered every pain, every punishment, all of the griefs that our sins deserved. And then he died. Then he died. You know why he died? Because we have to die. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus died, we all died with him. Why did we die? So that now we could live in his place. So that now we could live his life. And I've been preaching this for literally months already. The Bible says that as he is, so are we now in this world. And when Jesus Christ arose out of that grave, let me ask you this, did he arise with any sickness in his body? No. Did he arise being poor and impoverished? No. Did he arise with any sin? Did he arise with any grief or sorrow? No. As he is, it doesn't even say as he was, as he is, the Bible says, so are you. Where? Not just when we get to heaven, in this world. That is the revelation of the grace of God. He took us, even while yet sinners. He put us to death in his son, because we all deserve to die. We all deserve pain and punishment. You know, I mean, sin through sin is where sickness was brought into the world. Through sin is where poverty was brought into the world. Through sin, every curse was brought in. Jesus Christ became that curse to set you and I free. He paid it off. We no longer owe sin anything. That is the revelation of the unconditional love of God. Why would God do that? That's the mystery that the world cannot understand. God so loved you that he did it all for you. He doesn't just promise you, you know, eternal life. You want to know the length, the depth, the height of the unconditional grace of the revelation of Jesus. You got to know to what length Jesus went through, to what extent he suffered. Not just to set you free from eternal damnation, but to set you free right here, right now, from every curse that is in this world. And we know there is lots of them. There is lots of them. The world is under a curse and will be until the Lord returns. But what have we been teaching? Jesus came down, he entered into our world, and when he left, he took us into his world. Basically is what he did. Even though we're still here in the flesh, we are not of this world anymore. We're of that world. How does that world come to pass? Through the revelation of Jesus. If you don't know these things, if you're not privy to what Jesus really has done, the extent of what he's done off that cross, you are never going to live it or enjoy it all in this life, because it's by faith that we receive these things. But you can't have faith where you don't know the truth. And so I'm sharing with you this morning that the truths that you and I know is amazing. It's what the world It is the fountain of all usefulness. It is life. I mean, you know that mankind every day is trying to improve life, trying to make life longer, everything is about life. We have life. We have it on the inside of us. So when Jesus came out of that grave, we came out with him. He arose victorious over sin, hell, death, and all of the curses. Wow. Is it any reason that we will joy with unspeakable joy when we understand this? When we have a revelation of what I'm talking about this morning? In fact, what God has done and given us through the cross of Jesus is so amazing. The truth of it is so fantastic that we can hardly believe it. The world doesn't believe it. That is for sure. If I were to teach like this in the world, I'm afraid they would stone me. Heck, you know, like I say, most of the churches don't believe it. How is the world going to believe it? You know what? Heck, we don't even believe it. So how are we going to get the world to believe? But what I'm speaking here today is the truth. This is what the Bible says. That's who you and I are. We are still in the church, most places, trying to be like Jesus, trying to be virtuous, trying to live holy lives. We're always aspiring to be more grateful, to be more thankful, because that's what we're talking about, Thanksgiving, because that's what today is. So we're aspiring to be these people, right? That's how most churches are. You hear sermons and it's like you get out the door and you think, yes, this week I am going to try harder to be a good person. I'm going to try harder to love my neighbor. And God is saying, pooey, you already are all the things you're trying to be. And that's the only way. Outside of understanding that and believing that, you will never be. You can never, by the flesh, in your flesh, you cannot change your heart. You cannot wake up one morning and say, today I'm going to be grateful. You might say, thank you, thank you, thank you all day long. But on the inside, you're growling and you're murmuring, complaining, saying, oh, I have to say thank you again. It's like that analogy with the little boy in the classroom. The teacher tells them all to stand or sit. I'm not sure which one it is. And the little boy does what he's supposed to do, but he says to himself, you know, I'm standing on the outside, but in the inside, I'm sitting down. That's the same as with us. Unless thankfulness comes from the heart, unless worship comes from the heart, unless all of these virtues come from the heart, they're not real. And you cannot make yourself be thankful. You either are or you are not. And it is Jesus, it is the revelation of Jesus that brings all these virtues. They are our response, you see. And so they're not hard. They're not hard. Change is not hard. All change in your life is simply a response to seeing his goodness. When you see how incredibly good he is, your response is, oh my gosh, it's just so grateful. And then that begins to mushroom. If God is so gracious to me and so kind, even in spite of my failures, my faults, then that grace is now given. How much more can you be gracious to others? You see, the reason we're not gracious to others is because we don't feel like God's very gracious to us. You see, what you have on the inside is what you give away. And that is so true. So we must treasure what we have. We must treasure this revelation. So because it's so fantastic, and everything that the world itself is chasing after, we already have in Christ. If only God's people knew the truth. But it all comes through the revelation of Jesus. The greatest thing that you will ever do this side of heaven and in your life, the greatest exercise, what does the Bible say? Exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all, is to know this and understand this, to seek this revelation, because in it is your life. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, And listen carefully to this. But of him are you in Christ. Of him. Who's of him? Of God. Who of God is made unto us. Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is made unto us wisdom. He's made unto us righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification. What is that? Holiness. And redemption. You already are holy made. You're already justified. That means you're blameless. You already are righteous. You can't do anything to become more righteous. Jesus has been made to be all these things for you. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. We're glorying in the Lord this morning. I'm not glorying in the fact that we are so good that God revealed all these things to us. No, I'm glorying in him. So if you're going to glory in your life, glory in his goodness. Jesus and the cross unto us is wisdom. It is our life. And you know, a good analogy of this is the truth seen. It's a shadow of what we're learning here today. And it is seen in the story in the life of King Solomon. King Solomon was King David's son who became king in David's place. And he is the one that built the temple. And God appears to him in a dream, and he says, Solomon, what is it that I could give you? Now, if God appeared to you, come on, guys, and said, okay, Megan, out of all the things, what do you desire? Man, say, Lord, could I get back to you in about a week? Let me think about this one. But, you know, Solomon was quick to answer. Solomon said, above all else, Lord, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. I want to be able to be a good king, to be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong. I want wisdom. And the Bible tells us that God was very pleased with what he asked. Now, this is a picture of the new covenant saints, of you and I who are under the new covenant of grace. In fact, Solomon's name means peaceful. Who are those of us that are called peaceful? You and I. Peace I leave unto you, Jesus said. Not like the world gives. My peace I give unto you. How can we have the peace of Jesus? We have everything he has. And so this is a typology or a shadow of the new covenant saints. So who is the wisdom today in the new covenant? Jesus, we just said it, we just saw it. Jesus has been made for us wisdom. When you ask God for the revelation of Jesus, you're asking for wisdom above all else. And we just saw, what did God do for Solomon when he asked for that? Solomon is still, to this date, one of the richest, wisest men that ever lived. In fact, how rich was he? He was so rich that his fame spread far and wide throughout the country. And the Queen of Sheba had heard about it, and she thought, I got to go check this out for myself. So the Queen of Sheba loads up a bunch of gifts on the camels or whatever she traveled with, and she goes to see if what she's heard about King Solomon was really true. And if you go back and read the account in 1 Kings, it says that when the Queen of Sheba came into the palace, and she looked around, and she saw all, not only his wisdom, but all that King Solomon had. What did she do? She fainted. Any of you ever fainted when you saw someone else's wealth? And I mean, literally, she just fell over. She could not believe it. That's how amazing it was. Now, this is a picture, a shadow of the reality of what you and I have in the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you only knew what you had, you would faint. You would do more than that. What you and I have is so amazing. King Solomon didn't have the covenant of grace. He was under the old covenant. He had to do, and then God would bless. We're under the new covenant. It is no longer about what we do. It's about what he did. In Christ, you have everything that King, what did Jesus say? A greater than King Solomon has come. We ought to be enjoying God's blessings in a greater measure than King Solomon. It's no wonder I said that the world, if they knew what we had, they want the secret. They want to see into this mystery. How does this thing work? What do you guys have? But I believe we're in a day where God is really, really taking this truth into the body of Christ. As it gets darker in the world, you're going to see more light in the church. Amen. So Solomon chose wisdom, and he not only received wisdom, he received everything with it, riches, exceedingly abundantly above anything we can even imagine. And when you and I choose and seek after the revelation of Jesus and the cross, we too are choosing everything. Therein is everything you will ever need in your life. Therein is your prosperity, your health, your longevity, even renewal of youth. That's another area that the church just cannot comprehend, that God can restore your body. You have the spirit of life in you. And if there's a part of your body that's not working, he can bring it back to life. I mean, it just gets better and better and better and bigger and bigger and bigger. The more you look into it, the more you see. So when we choose the revelation of Jesus, we choose everything. Health, prosperity, peace, love, joy, youthfulness, anything you can think of that is a blessing becomes yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "The preaching of Jesus and the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." In other words, you speak these words to the world, it's really funny if they only knew what we had, but yet when you speak the words, they think you... It's foolishness to those that perish. But unto us, it is the power of God unto all things. That's the revelation you and I have. That's the treasure that nobody can take from you. Nobody. It's on the inside of you. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." You know anybody that's really wise in this world? "And I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." This is God speaking here. Verse 20, "Where is the wise people? Where is the scribe? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" So in other words, it's saying here, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Think about that. Give it some thought. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. What is the wisdom of this world? When you think and ponder on these scriptures, go further. Use your imagination. What is the wisdom of the world? Come on. What is it? It's very simple. The world's wisdom is this, in a nutshell. You do this, Dave. You do that. And then you do this over here. And you do that. And then you get this. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that how they deal with everything? I don't care if you're going to the doctor for a medical checkup. They'll tell you, do this, Ivy. Cut back on your salt. Do this, that, that. And you'll be healed. Or you'll be well. It doesn't matter what the situation is. There's always something you're going to do in order to get a certain result. That's the wisdom of the world. God says that's foolish. It's the reasoning of man. That's how we reason. Okay, well, if this is happening, then if I do this, then that'll subtract that, and I'll be okay. And God's laughing at us. The wisdom of this world is foolish. Because God's wisdom is this. So if the wisdom of the world is foolish, what's God's wisdom? Believe in Jesus and in his cross, and you will get the desired results. The world says, do this, do this, do this, do this, and get that. Jesus, God says, believe this, believe that, and you will get this. You see, that's the difference. We live according to what we believe, not according to what we do. We live according to what we believe because we believe that he did it all. That's the difference. And that is a revelation that God needs to drop into your heart to really have a greater understanding of it. I don't have to do anything to be healthy. It's what I believe. And in believing, I might choose. I eat well. We should eat well because we do believe we are healthy. We should be doing all of these things as a response, as a result of the fact that I already am healthy. Not, I'm not trying to obtain health through the food that I eat. Why is that foolishness to God? Because the world is cursed. The ground that we grow our food in has a curse. Nothing is pure anymore. If you think you're eating organic, ha-ha, I got news for you. God said there was a curse on the earth way back when? When Adam ate of the tree. There's a curse. And so we better be blessing our food. So it's not what we eat. It's not how much we exercise. It's what we believe that's going to transform you. It's what you believe. It's not the wrinkle cream that we put on our face that's going to keep us young. It's what I believe. The Bible says in Psalm 103, He satisfies my mouth with the good, that my youthfulness could be renewed as the eagle. How is an eagle's youthfulness renewed? He plucks off his feathers in his old age. He goes up and he sits on the cliff of a mountain. And then I think he even gets rid of his old beak. And then he stays there until his whole body is renewed with new feathers, new wings, and a new beak. And when he flies off, he looks like a brand new bird. Eagles live a long time. They are one of the few animals, actually, there's only two, that actually renew. Snakes as well. They shed their skin and they grow new skins. So God says, I am going to renew your youthfulness even like the eagle. Wow. How many of us have faith to go there? Bless God. I'm going to see that. Come on. I want to see that. You're going to see it. When you know about that truth, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And you think, why not? Sarah was 100 years old. She had a baby. You renewed her youthfulness. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 that you are a daughter of Sarah. So you inherited that from your mother. Good news, ladies. Throw out the wrinkle cream. We know things. We are privy to things that the world doesn't even know about. So God's wisdom is foolishness to the world. What is God's wisdom? The preaching of Jesus and the cross. And they will turn you off so quick. It's like, we are so smart. We have science. God made science. God made the world. There's nothing in this world that man made. Everything they're discovering, God had made years ago. You know, the man doesn't invent anything. He just finds out, right? He just discovers it. I mean, electricity wasn't invented. It was discovered. It was there the whole time. And so then they take the credit. But remember, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. So next time you get yourself in a spin and in a turn when you're trying to figure something out, you've got a trouble or a problem, remember that. Don't say, what can I do to fix this? No, say, what can I believe? What does God's word say about this situation? It's always what do I believe, not what can I do. So God says it's what you believe. So if you're here today and you're hearing what I'm saying, or if you're listening through the internet, and you know, because no man knows, what does the Bible say? No man knows the heart of a man except the man himself. You know your own heart. You know in your heart whether you're a grateful person, a thankful person, whether your spirit is pleasant. You know it. And I'm not here to condemn anybody or even say anything. I'm trying to give you hope. Don't condemn yourself. Don't beat yourself up when you see some of these virtues that are missing in your own life and in your own heart. Don't even go there. Where do you go? Seek after the revelation of Jesus. all we need to do. And all things, the Bible says, will be freely added to you. They will chase you down. It'll be an automatic response. There will be no effort on your part. It's just like when someone really blesses you in the natural. You don't have to try to be thankful. It's just, oh, thank you. It's a response to goodness. It's a response to grace. It's a response. It's just what your heart does. Just like when you see Jesus for who he is, the response of your heart is to just worship. It's like, I don't deserve any of this. You become so overwhelmed that you can do nothing but worship and sometimes just cry because you know you don't deserve it. And yet he freely gives and just keeps on giving, even when we mess up. He's already covered that on the cross. There is no sin now that can ever come between you and God. Why? Because Jesus paid it all off, all of it. Whether it's a sin you're going to commit next week or next month or next year. That doesn't mean we go out and we want to live in sin. No. But we're human and we make mistakes and we make wrong choices. But there is no more consequences. And that's what the world doesn't know. That's what makes our hearts sing and jump for joy. Because there's nothing worse than feeling guilty all the time. Feeling like I should have done this or I should have done that or, oh, I just feel lousy. I could have done it better. I could have done more. Come on. I've been there many times. But when you know that that has been washed away, you will rejoice in your heart. So thankfulness is, being thankful is not a work of your flesh. It is a response of your heart to the revelation that we have of Jesus. It is a natural response to his goodness. So if you lack a thankful heart here today, and you would like to be the type of a person that is more gracious, have a lovely spirit. I call that a lovely spirit because I think a grateful heart, a thankful heart, is a lovely spirit. Ivy has a lovely spirit. Many people have a lovely spirit. They're always so grateful. And being grateful to someone isn't necessarily trying to pay them back. It's just that gratefulness that you know they can express. That's all. That's enough. When you give someone a gift, you don't want to be repaid back. Amen? And so a grateful and a thankful heart is a lovely heart before the Lord. And so if you lack this quality today, or if you want it to be greater, then what does the Bible say in the book of James chapter 1? If any man lacked wisdom, ask of the giving God, who gives to all men freely. If you lack wisdom, what is wisdom? A revelation of Jesus. If you lack that in your life, ask God for a bigger revelation. Seek after that. Seek to know him, and all things will begin to happen in your life. It all is him. Jesus is our life. Amen. And everything we have is from him and by him, through him, and for him. And all we do is rest and learn more about him. Amen. So this morning, before we close, I'm gonna have the music team come up. Yeah.